This morning, our scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, if you want to read the first part or first chapter of Matthew, that gives a genealogy of Jesus, 14 generations leading up to Jesus' birth. And then we come to verse 18, gives us the conception and birth of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. But I have entitled this Joseph, a divine example. Now, we don't hear much about Joseph, do we? In our Christmas stories or in our messages. But I want to highlight Joseph because you'll see, once I share this message with you, the prime example or divine example Joseph was in the story of Jesus' birth. And because names or people who are placed in Scripture have a purpose, and many of them end up in the faith hero book, which is Hebrews chapter 11, and they have a significant part of why the Lord has placed each and every one of us here on this earth to make a difference, to make an example to others. And Joseph was one of those. Even though he was not Jesus's earthly father, he was a father too, earthly father to Jesus, and rightly in a way that set that example for many others and us today. So if you'll follow along with me as I begin with verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, there you see, he was a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Verse 20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. See the lineage right there of Joseph? He was in the lineage of David. And he appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place in fulfillment, or to fulfill, what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, the Old Testament. It started there. Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, it says that Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. That means he was just in all of his actions towards the Lord. And he was concerned about living a holy life before God. That was his concern. That's why it is noted to him that he was righteous and just in his ways. Also, he was concerned about pleasing the Lord and doing the will of God. So there's not much, as I said a few minutes ago, concerning how Joseph felt about the birth of Jesus. But in the Gospel of Luke, there's a great deal said about Mary's feelings. But the only thing that we can see in the Gospel of Luke about Joseph is he marveled when Simeon said Jesus was the Christ. And also we read about his fear of Mary being accused of adultery. So that is a great concern of Joseph. But the angel kind of clarified that for him. So as we examine this account this morning, we're seeing something significant. I believe understanding a very important part of the trait of Joseph. Joseph, serving as Jesus' earthly father figure, was a worthy father, according to the scriptures here. He was not only an example, role model for his son, but also he contained a certain character trait which just happens to be Jesus' strongest trait. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but he had a strong trait, and the scripture kind of leads us into that and shows us what that trait is. And we'll also read about the fear of Mary being accused of adultery. So, he was a just man. Now, let's look at the fear of adultery in verses 18 through 20 to clarify this and see how God worked miraculously in this, in the lives of Joseph and Mary and in the life of Jesus. So in verse 18, we find, and we're told here, that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And that just didn't happen overnight, but it happened. It's a part of how the Jewish culture worked. And betrothal was a lot more than just an engagement period for just a day or like we do today. It was a kind of a pre-marriage relationship. And the rabbi would perform a ceremony for the betrothal. And during this period, abstinence was to be maintained until after the official marriage ceremony. And the betrothal lasted about a year. And during that period, if a woman became pregnant with a child, she was viewed as being adulterous. And under the strictest interpretation of the Old Testament law, it was punishment by death for both parties. Now that's pretty strict, and that was a serious offense. Now, in verse 18, we see that Joseph was a just man. I want to emphasize that. He was just. He was very discernment and understanding of the leading of God in his life because he was righteous in all ways. And he did not want to make Mary a public an example. He respected her. He knew there was something special about her, especially since the angel spoke to him in a dream, then he knew there was something. He didn't, he didn't fully understand it, all the details, but he trusted the leading of the Holy Spirit because he believed in God. Now, he had compassion. This is one of the traits that I see that Joseph had. on Mary and decided to put her away and break off the engagement. And he wanted to do that in secret. But in verse 20, this begins by saying that Joseph thought about these things. He thought of it. He gave it much thought. He pondered, he reflected on what to do. Just like Mary, every time Jesus said something to her or something happened, she would ponder it. She would think about these things. Those are the things that we need to do as well. When we are convicted or when the Holy Spirit speaks to us about something in our lives or anything of that matter, we need to think about it. We need to give a serious thought. And that's what Joseph was doing. He was considering how to put his Mary away secretly. While he was thinking, an angel came to him in a vision, and the angel addressed him as the son of David. That got his attention. They get my attention with you. All right, son of David, you're special here. Your lineage is special. God has promised your lineage, your generation, something good. You're a part of something great. God has given you the privilege of being the husband of Mary. So you think about this. So that suggested that he of royal descent of the house of David, he was. And it also reminded him that he was a godly man. The only other person in the New Testament who is called a son of David is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I wanted to emphasize that this morning. Besides Joseph and Jesus, there are the only ones in the Bible, in the New Testament rather, called the son of David. The son of David. That's interesting, isn't it? Something very significant about that. And yet, it is how the angels address Joseph. And this information about Joseph being addressed as the son of David should be kept in mind. For it's important in understanding the message contained in verses 21 through 23. Now, back to verse 20. We read that the child within Mary would be born of the Holy Spirit. This was a miraculous conception of the Holy Spirit. God. From the very beginning of Genesis, as he hovered over the earth and created everything, and so that's the way it happened with Mary. And here in verse 21, the angel told Joseph that Mary would bring forth a son, and they would call him Jesus. For he would save his people from their sins. And going back to the Old Testament, I love to reference the Old Testament because the Old Testament derived the Hebrew names Joshua and Hosea, which means salvation. That's what it means. Hosea, Joshua, means salvation. And if you look at the name of Jesus, Jesus means saved. So in verse 23, it tells us Jesus is also called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that specifically is what the angel told Joseph, that Jesus is called, or means Emmanuel, God with us. Now, this is also an important statement, but I want us to focus more on the name of Jesus. Because we know that God is with us. Jesus is with us at all times. And that's what Emmanuel means. But the name Jesus has a specific meaning, and that's what I want us to focus on. The name of Jesus bears a great significance to the account here. Now, let's look at this significance in verses 24 through 25, as we look at salvation exemplified. And this is where Jesus comes in to play. Isn't it amazing to me that Joseph thought that Mary possibly committed adultery? Now, in that time, that was serious in offense. That's why he wanted to put her away secretly. He didn't want no shame or anything like that to come upon him or her especially. But he needed the advice from the angel, and he kept Mary and took her to be his wife because he trusted in God. He was a righteous man. I want to emphasize that. And keep in mind that the angel came to him in a dream. Now, I don't know. All of us have dreams, don't we? And sometimes the dreams exemplify something that maybe has occurred in your life in the past or present or something like that. But in the Old Testament and New Testament, both, these were very significant, how God worked and how he spoke and sent messages to people for a particular reason. And keep in mind that he also risked being questioned about Mary's pregnancy. And he had faith in the unbelievable, which was the divine conception by the Holy Spirit. And here Joseph's true character shines forth. This really shines forth here. And I'll get more into that. Now, I wanted to go back to the Old Testament and to give an example how God worked back in the Old Testament as he is here in the New Testament with Joseph and Mary. In Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, there's an account somewhat similar to this one where God asked Hosea to take his wife, which was an adulteress, which represented the Lord taking Israel to wed. Israel was chosen. Now, Israel continually strayed from God and committed spiritual adultery. But God loved Israel enough to take her back time after time after time. But the Lord loved Israel enough to take her back time after time. And every time that Hosea's wife, you remember what her name was? Gomer? Strayed from him, he loved her enough to take her back in his arms time after time after time. Why? Well, God said for him to do that. Now, remember how we just learned that Jesus' name is derived from the Old Testament name Hosea, salvation. But the name Jesus and Hosea does mean salvation. Now, our understanding of salvation from Hosea is unconditional love. It has to be unconditional love, right? On the part of Joseph and on the part of Hosea. You remember I said he had this special significant trait, and when Jesus was born, that was exemplified through that trait of Jesus. Now, God doesn't approve of sin. He never has. He never will. However, he will love us no matter what sins we have committed, and he will allow us to approach him for forgiveness. And that's the key right there. We have to approach him. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. See, the Holy Spirit has always been from the very beginning, always been working. The Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, always working. They work together. They're one. And when the Holy Spirit prompts us something in our lives, whether it be a sin, whatever it might be, we act upon it. We confess, we repent, and he forgives us. And that's why Jesus came into this world, to forgive us of our sins. In fact, Jesus died for us while we were still sinning, or still living in sin. And I'm going to take you to Romans 5:8. And Paul gives us a good description of what Jesus does for us. Paul says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. That's a big right there. His love towards us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means while we were continually in our sin, or continually going our own way, disregarding and referring to anyone in the Old Testament and any of us today, while we were going our own way, doing our own thing, we never left the mind of God. He still loved us enough. He loves us unconditionally. And that's the way we are to love one another, unconditionally. Not to have to prove something, but to just love unconditionally and hoping and praying for a good outcome. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants in our lives. And that's what is demonstrated here with Joseph. So whatever you've done, or I've done in our life, whatever sin that we have committed, none is too great for God to forgive us. Now, Jesus demonstrated, or Joseph demonstrated salvation when he took Mary to be his wife. He demonstrated salvation. He demonstrated that trait that God looks for us, in us. That unconditional love. And although he possibly suspected foul play, I mean, that's the human mind, isn't it? Joseph probably did. Joseph loved Mary unconditionally, and in doing this, he was demonstrating an example of the trait of the character that Jesus would be born with himself. And keep in mind that Jesus would not only show unconditional love, but Jesus would be unconditional love and provide that salvation. That's why I wanted to share the message this morning about Joseph and the trait that he has and was given and was passed right along in the generations to come in David's generations. So the Lord was using Joseph to reveal coming nature of his son, the Father's son, Jesus Christ, and the Father to bring him up in the way that all of us are to raise our children. So when you look at this particular passage of scriptures and involving the name of Jesus, the Lord is revealing to us through this passage of Scripture that Joseph was modeling the person and character of Christ. And that's why the Scripture says he was a righteous and just man. And when we think about this and we think about our lives, the Lord wants us to realize through Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness. And through God's Son, we will receive unconditional love and be pardoned for any sin that we have ever committed. You know, when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life and save us and forgive us of our sins, guess what? That's past, present, and future. When he forgives us of our sins, that doesn't mean we won't sin again. The Holy Spirit jumps right back in and he says, hey, you know, you're saved. But as a Christian, that does not resemble what you are and how God has changed your life. And that is the point that we say, I'm sorry. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in closing this morning, Jesus stepped in. When he was born, he stepped in and took our place on the cross. through all the prophets in the Old Testament, through all the things that happened in the Old Testament, and sins being forgiven through going to the sacrifices of animals and everything like that, God knew once and for all something had to be done. Over 2,000 years, God the Father provided an ultimate way to rid our sin, and it's through Jesus Christ. That's why the scripture said, once and for all, there will be no more other sacrifices. No other person will be able to forgive us of our sins except through Jesus Christ. That's why John 14:6 says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. See, Jesus was crucified. He died and was buried. But what happened on that third day? Well, we're thinking about Easter right now, right? Thinking about Easter. But it all goes together. Two most important events that's ever happened in history is the birth of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. The most two important events in history. And history is full of events and things that are happening. But no one has ever changed this world, our lives, like Jesus. He is the prime example of a perfect person for us to follow. A great example. Now, there are great men that God used, Abraham and Moses and Noah and Isaiah, Hosea, Zechariah, all these men, so many, Joshua. But no one changed the world like Jesus. And it is because he was willing to go to the cross and die for our sins, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is always pointing to the cross. That's where it took place. That's where it happened. He conquered sin and death on our behalf and for us, that we might have eternal life in him. See, Jesus is salvation. That's what his name means. Jesus saves. And I want to encourage you and anyone listening today that don't know him personally, and you can know him personally, because he's right here in this place. His Holy Spirit is moving in a powerful, powerful way. All of my colleagues and people I've talked to recently and just regularly sees a moving of the Holy Spirit like we haven't seen in a long, long time. See, the things that's happening in our world today are timely because it is prophecy. It's taking place before our eyes. And the more we read and study the Word of God, the more we're in it, asking for discernment, the more will be revealed to us. And we take the Word of God by faith, right? We believe it. We trust in what God's Word says. I trust it over anything else I've ever read in this world. I've read a lot of good books, a lot of good things, but nothing compares to the Word of God because it's an absolute. And the Word is infallible. It's inerrant. It's perfect. It's because the one who breathed the Word is perfect. And he wants us to be perfect, perfected in his Word in our lives. And that's by allowing Jesus Christ, when he comes into our life, to live through our lives. And that's how we become children of God. Let's pray. Our Father God, we praise you. We thank you for the messages that we receive from your word. Your word is so precious. So precious. And it helps to realize who we are individually. Especially when we listen to your Holy Spirit. When we walk with you. And Lord, sometimes we say, we're human. Well, yes, we are. But you also tell us that we're made in your image. That we have the characteristics that you desire in our lives. And that's by yielding our spirit to yours, our life to you, to walk in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's not impossible, not at all. We just got to be willing to yield each day that we wake up and start a new day. Say, Lord, you're in charge. I yield to you. I surrender this day to you that you live your life through me. It's as simple as that. And being mindful that we are to be in prayer continually. We don't have to be on our knees, but as we walk and as we go about, be mindful of your presence. Because you're always present. And you see everything that we do. You know everything we think. And you know our conduct and our actions. So we should be mindful of that. And when we realize that and yield to you, it makes all the difference in the world. So this morning we just pray that your Holy Spirit speaks to those, Lord, this morning that needs to make a decision. For Lord, that you are drawn to you. You draw men to you. And we need to seek you while you can be found, according to Isaiah. We will be blessed. We thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.